Elaine Harrington, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Just don't feel right calling Elaine Harrington.
Oh no?
That doesn't make sense at all.
No, that makes two of us.
So what are we calling it today? Give us the correct, now that we're in the Chip fan, which is very rock and roll, and you're rock
definitely
and roll, or whatever.
Square and orange.
Like I said, like our lunch boxes. So what are we going to call you? Temperamental miscellaneous or what?
You're welcome to call me TMM, Missy, miscellaneous, whatever you like. But I mean, let's go with miscellaneous because Elaine is encompassed within that.
Yeah, okay, so miscellaneous is good enough for me. Welcome to the Chip fan, miscellaneous.
Thank you very much.
Life is going well for you?
Not too bad, you know, just chipping away.
Loving the hair.
Thank you. Oh, I didn't even run a comb through it.
Yeah, no, that's what I like about it.
Thank you.
There's no extensions going on there.
There is extensions, yeah, actually, you know, but I was coming home from the Bronx, actually, and a girl said the same thing. She said, I love your hair. I said, oh yeah, what part of it is mine? And she says, did you pay for it? And I says, yeah. She says, well, it's all your hair then.
I like that.
And since that, I've adopted that kind of ownership of my hair, regardless of extensions.
By that argument, the suggestion is, if someone says, especially if a girl says it to you, are they extensions, there's something a bit catty about that, is there?
I don't know. I never see it that way. No, because that girl, that lady, she was another woman, maybe, making a comment on my hair, and it was positive for
us. So you pay, you own.
That's it, exactly. I suppose okay. So, yeah.
Enough.
I don't know about that connotate, what that implies, but
yeah, that's true, actually. That we could be talking about anything, at which point it just becomes, let's not go there. It's too existential for this time of the morning.
Existential? You're warming me up there, Ryan.
Can you go, is there a possible, I'm not going to ask you to do it now, but sometime, next time we meet maybe, you'll be able to have a rap song that allows you to rhyme some word with existential. That's my challenge to you for some time.
Yeah, yeah, extra celestial.
Even better. I like that. I like that. Okay. A lot of people have been watching the Connected program on RT2. Mm. And it's getting nicely reviewed, actually. People seem to be enjoying it, which is good.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my word on the street, Johnny.
Right. Cool. Cool.
And I've seen the first, I'd say, 4 to 6 episodes. And how would you describe your life?
Existential. No.
Yeah. Extra celestial.
Extra celestial. Well, I suppose, miscellaneous in the sense, look, I caught myself temperamental when I was 14, Ryan, and the separation, I told you about the particular spelling of that, temper-mental. So that separates temper, which is like emotion and feelings, with mentality or psyche, which is mental.
Yeah.
And I've been just living my life on the 14-inch journey, which is for me from the head to the heart, making that journey from my thinking to my feeling and finding out who I am through the medium of hip-hop as a cultural movement, you know, and teaching myself through that medium.
Okay.
You know, so I'm a bit of an autodidact.
An autodidact
of life.
Well, you're 27 now, so let's go back 26 years ago and tell us a bit about your early days.
Oh, my memory's not that good. I know I can remember 72 bars of rap, but I don't know if I can go back. Right, I tell you, maybe my first, one of my standard memories is getting a sense of morale, being in a classroom in St. Canis's in Finglas in a primary school, and my first poem I wrote when I was age 9, Little Leaf, being put on the back of the door. So that really created a sense of morale in a classroom with regards to that literary kind of movement, expressing yourself through your feelings. And I remember using this leaf as to represent how I felt, using that as a medium to express my feelings as that little 9-year-old I was, you know.
Did you have a happy childhood or a difficult childhood or a mixed childhood? How would you describe it?
I suppose it was a bit miscellaneous, you know. It all depended on me and how I responded to the circumstances in my life, and I think I dealt with everything pretty top notch, you know. So, because here I am,
here
look at me now.
not lacking in confidence, which is good.
I guess not. No, I suppose. Yeah, right.
You remind me in talking to you of a kind of female Conor McGregor. You know, the UFC fighter. Do you know that guy?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I really
like him. He's got a very eloquent kind of turn of phrase, the very same as you.
Oh,
you
eloquent.
Love words.
I do love words.
You
love words.
Words
are my slave.
You like
someone
the rhythm
once said.
And the cadence, and words are your slave. It's a lot even nicer way to put it.
That's what a gentleman once said to me.
Tell me about your love of words.
Just to say, I don't really agree with words are my slaves, because hierarchy, monarchy, etc., etc. Don't know about that
not
power play.
Okay.
The rank of power. I don't know about
I hear
that.
You.
But Yeah, I suppose my mother was a trade union representative. You know, she was president of the ESBOA once upon a time, and you know, she would have taken me to union meetings and the feminist meetings and stuff like that. So, you know, I would have been I was able to walk under the table without bending over. That's exactly the way I describe it. I remember that distinctly, that I could be walk under the table without crouching down, you know, and these women would be talking about these feminist discussions and stuff like that, and topics, you know. And so I just remember my mother, like, we'd be getting up and she'd do a speech, or she'd preparing a speech, you know, in the morning, you know, and I'd be like, you know, I want to articulate, I want to express myself, you know what I mean, I want to have a broad vocabulary like you, mammy. You know, I remember saying that to her. So people used to say to me in school, did you eat a dictionary for breakfast? Did you swallow a dictionary? I used to say, ooh, as if being able to express yourself lyrically is a negative thing, being able to articulate your feelings. And I think sometimes there is a stigma attached to it, depending on where you're coming from. And I'd be coming from a proletariat background, you know, I'd be coming from that place. And I think sometimes, ooh, you're an eloquent speaking, like, scumbag or whatever, or where, you know what I'm saying? Because people have, we have these colours that we, you know, we put on to people, you know? And I suppose people are surprised by that from me. And I'm like, well, why though? You know what I mean? So look inside yourself and consider that. However, you know, when I see my mother, you know, and she be expressing herself in that confident way and communicating her own message and a moral message and where she was standing, you know, I really admired that and I took that in. Same with my father, he was a lyricist too. So I'd see him very introverted. Yeah. He was more expressive. Whereas he'd be introverted and, you know, scribbling, and it'd be kind of, you know, on that emotional tip.
What was he writing? When you say scribbling, what was he?
Writing his songs.
Oh,
he was a songwriter. Yeah, he's a musician, a songwriter. Yeah. You know.
So that's a really great. It's a fascinating mix of the trade union extrovert up at the meetings fighting for the rights of the
workers,
dispossessed or what have you.
Absolutely.
And equally, then on the other side, you had this slightly more reflective gentleman with his pen or whatever he's doing, going, you know, poet, if you like. Mm-hmm. But they're both, one of the musical poet and one an oratorical poet, if you like.
Absolutely.
And along comes you.
It makes a mixture of two.
Yeah, it makes great sense that you've the two forces have converged to produce you. So I'm just curious, because as somebody who loves words myself, where did you get them? Did you read lots? Did you listen to lots of music? Who gave you, apart from your folks, where did you get all this vocabulary that it just comes to you so quickly?
Well, I suppose, like, my granddad says to me once upon a time, I says, granddad, I'm having a serious difficulty getting through a book. I'm not even enjoying it. And he says, well, Elaine, you're like me, you don't read, you study, says he. So that's the story, you know. But I'm someone who likes, I take notes in the margin and I underline things, and
you know
I become seduced by one sentence and I get stuck with that, but, you know, I'll get a lot of momentum from that one sentence, you know what I mean, because then I'll have my own input, you know. But you know, that's kind of what I do. But I did flick through the dictionary and that, you know, and when I was younger, and I didn't read. Oh, you're talking to someone who cheated on the MS Readathon, right? I'll tell you that secret. Disclosure.
I read 15 books, you read two.
No, not like that. No, it wasn't a lie like that. It was a more sophisticated lie. I would read, like, I would read shorter books.
Oh, that's all. That's
read
not
littler
cheating.
Ones. Well, I felt it was.
No, my feeling is, especially with kids and reading, it doesn't matter damn what you're reading once you're reading. I don't care about damn about that.
Because it's therapeutic.
Can we talk about Connected for a second then? Why did you go on the program? Why did you agree? Just for those who haven't seen it, you got a camera for 6 months, was that right?
Sure, well, I still have it, so it's actually probably 9 months.
Nine months, and you film your life, and then you hand the tapes over and they put it together to give us a sense of your life in that time. Mm-hmm. So a visual diary, so to speak.
Sure, well, a visual diary of my life and how it unfolds daily. And it's basically six women connected, six women of which I am one, and documenting their lives in a very free and a unique way, in stylistically unique to me as miscellaneous. I'm a rapper, I'm an artist, I'm a performer, I'm an activist, I'm a woman in society. So it's basically me just documenting all of that, you know, and presenting it to the public in a way that's kind of, you know, I suppose, digestible. Like, you gotta have a nice kind of frame, good angles, good light, so you have to have an artistic eye to a degree as well. You couldn't just be throwing any old thing on, you know. So it's kind of been, it's been trying, you know what I mean, in a sense that physically as well, you know what I'm saying, because you have to remember to include this fourth wall, you know what I mean, this potential audience. You have to include those people, you know what I mean, they're going to watch. It's like, what are they going to want to consume, what are they going to want to hear, what have I got to show them that's maybe that needs to be platformed, or that should be, or maybe shouldn't be, but I'm going to challenge the status quo. So I've tipped on
a
few things.
You were homeless for how long?
14 months.
This
time around.
How did that happen?
Basically, I was homeless when I was 17. I was by choice, you know, that was my part of my journey. And then when I was, 23, I can't count, I'm bad at maths, but better at words, right? So, yeah, with that, as I said, like, you know, I became homeless, I was renting, I was independent, and just whatever happened, you know.
Is homeless, like, on the side of the street, or is it going to
a combination, miscellaneous. Yeah, it was all of that, you know what I mean? I got into the system pretty quickly because I had been, I'd been adjusted to that since I was 17. When I was 17, I slipped through every loophole in the system. Okay. When I was homeless, right? Because I was independent, yet I was still going to school, yet I was homeless, you know? So I got into a woman's transitional house, and I'm in a woman's transitional house now. So, you know what I mean? But I don't resent that, you know what I mean? I feel like I've come through a lot since then. So I don't feel like I've went backwards. I feel like it's been a test for me. Same with when I was asked to do Connect. They had to ask me a second time because I rejected it the first time. But, you know what I mean? I felt like maybe the universe trying to tell me something. Maybe I can be useful. Maybe I can be a vessel for some sort of message. So it says, yeah, look, go with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't reject that.
Glad you did it.
I think so, definitely. And for the last episode, that Boys Will Be Boys one, I definitely am happy with the way it finished, because the way it closed, I think it was on myself saying, I hate what society has made men out to be, as opposed to just men are... you know, and separating men and women and feeding into that heterosexist kind of that stigma. You know, it doesn't separate us, it joins us, and it gives everybody the due responsibility to care for each other in terms of gender and equality, you know?
Okay, good. Now, listen to me. We need you to you're going to rap for us this morning.
I'm going to rap for you, yeah.
We got some class of track, which we've got back. Is that what's happening, that you're going to
that's right, yeah.
They're going to play for us from bass. What is it? Do you want to set
it's
this up?
It's called Double Entendre, and it's produced by Stano, and it's one of the tracks that is of a bunch of four. I released an EP called Heartloose Tempo on vinyl. So this is by Stano. It's one of the other flip sides of the record. So I hope you enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm on external two here. Is that okay? Yes, keep it on that. All right, then. There's a Miscellaneous live from the Chip Van. Here's a once off. Go for